Thank you very much, men, for that great number. And it is good to be back here in the pulpit at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning. And if I can get all this wired all straightened out. And I thank the Lord and thank you people for putting up with me as pastor for 46 years. And I also thank you for what you're doing for me now in my retirement. And you've been good to me, and I thank God for you. And do pray for Brother Jody and the men with them. What a great opportunity. There are going to be thousands of people in heathen darkness that come to those meetings. And do pray for the touch of God on those meetings. Pray that hundreds will be saved. And I believe some are going to be saved. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Verse 1, page 245 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. That's music to my ear just to say it. I had to say that. You'll forgive me for it, I'm sure, won't you? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It's in the Old Testament. If you're still going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't find it. Deuteronomy 28, as I said before, the sound of the word of God, the sound of the page of being turned sounds good, but just not too much of it, you know. Deuteronomy 28, 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Then this, I'm going to be using this morning mainly in verse 1 to base my message on. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So hold your place right there, and I'll refer to it in the message here in just a few moments. And let's pray for God's blessing. I want to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to God's people today. And let's do pray right now for Brother Jody and Brother Sexton. They'll be preaching, I think, 4 or 5 nights this week, and with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds there lost. So let's pray that there'll be a number saved. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming one more time this side of eternity to the house of God. Thank you for the privilege we have of assembling ourselves together and hearing these good songs and hearing the good word of God preached one more time. And I just pray that, Lord, that your will be done in this service. Help this unworthy preacher and bless these dear people. And give us something from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit to take home with us today. And, Lord, speak to our hearts through your Word, through these songs, through your servant, by the Spirit of God, I pray. And, Lord, help me, anoint me now. I can't preach without your help. Would you help me and get glory to your name this morning? And then, God, again, bless over in those meetings over in India. God, would you do it? And bless here this morning. We pray in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. I wanted to preach something else this morning. I wanted to preach on the accepts of Christ. Except you are born again, you never get to heaven. Except man, except you repent, you shall perish, and all like that. But the Lord brought my attention to this message, and I want to preach this one. I think it's what God wants me to preach for this service. Now, we've just entered the year of 2012. We're on the 15th day, just got started, as we all know, the outlook is not too good, and it's full of uncertainties as we face a new year. And there are some who are believing that Israel would strike the nuclear plants in Iran. In fact, they expect it soon. And our government yesterday warned Israel not to do it. And if they do, the Middle East will explode into a world war. And there's no way the United States can keep from getting involved in another war if Israel strikes and we have to go to their defense. And a third war would bankrupt us even farther than the first two wars we had recently. In fact, our battleships and aircraft carriers are headed toward the Arabian Gulf as we sit here this morning. And for the purpose of a possible conflict, if the Iran blocks the Strait of Hormuz, is that Hormuz? So you don't know any more than I do, probably. That strait there, it's where all of our oil comes through. And we'll have to go to war for that if they do. And then also the moral climate of America has degenerated so far that some godly men say we're living in a post-Christian society. And instead of being a Christian nation, these liberals glory in our multiculturalism. I heard a great preacher say a while back, diversity is apostasy, and usually it is. And the homosexual lifestyle, as you know, is gaining respectability and across the country and around the world. And in spite of what they're saying in many of our universities and even some churches, homosexuality is not an optional lifestyle. It certainly is. It is perversion. It's perversion. And God's attitude toward homosexuality is found in Romans 1. God's word says when men lust for men and women lust for women, God gives them up to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient. And God doesn't, in his word, doesn't call it an optional lifestyle. God calls it vile affection. That's what the word of God says. As I've said before, I can understand it when a man maybe falls into the sin of adultery with a woman, another woman, but I just can't understand it. Now, it's still sin and it's wrong, and God's going to judge whoremongers and adulterers, but I just can't understand it when a man lusts for another man. It's abnormal. I have a lot of good men friends that I love in the Lord, but I don't know one of them that I want to kiss. Hallelujah. And they don't want to kiss me either. My crowd wouldn't want to kiss me either. We won't take an extra offering for that now. But the signs that we're in a post-Christian nation are everywhere. And not only is homosexuality one, it's one of the signs of our moral and spiritual deterioration in America. But there's multiculturalism, and there's worldliness and deadness and apostasy, and our churches are dead. Can't stir a revival to stick most churches today. And there's immorality and drunkenness and drugs, and then add to the list Sabbath desecration. I heard an old preacher say many years ago, Sabbath desecration is America's darling sin. Now, we preachers don't say much about that today. But, you know, I played football in high school and college, and never did I ever have to either play on Sunday or even practice on Sunday all the years I was involved in that sport. And that shows you how far we've gone from God in the last 55 or 60 years. Now, I know, don't come to me, I know we're not under law, we're under grace. But I believe about one-tenth of your money ought to go to the Lord, and one-seventh of your time ought to belong to the Lord. Now, there are many problems we face today, but the thing that is gripping Americans with fear in this hour is the economic and financial uncertainty. And these financial lessons, that'd be good to go there. I won't charge you, boys, for that little plug there. But there is economic and financial uncertainty everywhere. Millions of homeowners, as you know, have lost their homes, and many are losing their homes. They were given loans that there was no way on God's green earth for them they could ever pay them off. And that's the whole reason we're in the mess we're in today, or one of the great reasons. Larry Burkett warned in his book, written in 1991, the coming economic earthquake, about the coming of he predicted a coming economic collapse, and it's on its way. It's already happening in some nations of the world. because of the problem, our burgeoning debt. It's growing and ballooning out of reason. When he wrote that, it was just $4 trillion. $4 trillion. And today, that's been 20-something years, it's grown to almost $15 trillion. When the Congress gets back in, they're going to have to raise the debt limit over $1 trillion, up to $15+ trillion. And we're spending money. We're faster than we can print it. And our projected debt, with all of the debts across America and the states and the municipalities, it's projected that our national debt is over $100 trillion. Now, that's too much for my mind, my simple mind, to comprehend. And our great economic engine called free enterprise has given us the greatest prosperity the world has ever seen. But, folks, it's been damaged and maybe even ruined. I hope not. All across America and around the world, there's much fear and anxiety and discouragement as to what 2012, this year we're in now, 15th day in, what it holds for us. But even though the outlook may be bleak, I'm glad there is encouragement for those who fear God and believe His Word. I have a message of encouragement for you this morning. Now back to the Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. Let's look at that verse again there. Deuteronomy 28, 6. God says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. I want to add end of the year of 2012. And also, God says, blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out, when you go out of the year. God is going to bless His people. Now, the promise of verse 6, I turn back to verse 1 there. The promise of verse 6 gives us great encouragement to the child of God. Now, this is for God's child. What the message mainly I'm preaching is to God's children, those that are in fellowship with the Lord, been born again, and want to please God. This message is mainly for you this morning. But verse 6 depends upon two conditions in verse 1. Look at 28:1. God says, listen, when a sovereign God says something, you can put it in your pipe and smoke it. And it shall come to pass, God says, if, first of all, you'll follow God's leading. And look at it. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then secondly, said, not only it'll come to pass, my blessings will be upon you if you just follow my leading. But then secondly, if you obey my word. Now, folks, we can all get in. You don't have to be a nuclear scientist to get this. I mean, where you've ever been inside of a schoolhouse. If you'll just follow the Lord's leading, you can understand that. Everybody can understand that. And if you'll, listen, obey His word, God's promised to bless you, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, and then the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And so if we follow... By the way, this is good for any age. It's good for every person. The blessing of God will follow you on your life if you'll follow the leadership of God's Holy Spirit and obey the Word of God. The blessing of God will rest on you the rest of your days on this earth. And if you're born again trying to follow the Lord, you're going to make it. My message, you're going to make it in 2012. And if you will, in these dark days that lie ahead, if you will simply follow the Lord and obey His word, you're going to make it. That's guaranteed. God says that He'd guarantee it. Now, I want to give you four things. Oh, you got it. Now, they finally, when after I got away from here, they put a clock up here. They knew Brother Jody is coming, didn't they? Put this clock up here. I don't know why. I'm glad. Well, I always had my watch here. But anyway, let me give you four things that offer encouragement in 2012. First of all, this is now, as I said, for born again child of God, and those that are at least trying to do God's will. You know, we fail. We all fail. But if we have a heart for God, want to do the will of God, the Lord will just keep blessing us, even though we fail every now and then. And this is for those that have been born again and trying to do God's will. Number one, encouragement 2012, the assurance of the Lord's unfailing love. God said in his word, Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with what kind of love? Everlasting love. You say, nobody loves me. Oh, you're wrong. God loves you this morning. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Now, look. I'm going to skip. I'm going to turn over to Romans, and I'm going to skip that because I'm running out of time here already before I get to going. But three questions. I want to, what kind of love is his love? As I said, it's everlasting. Number two, how long has he loved us? He's loved us, listen, from eternity to eternity. God's loved us. And he loved you before you ever came in this world. He knew all about you before you ever came in this world. And he's known all about you ever since you've been here. We have a great God. And he knows all about your future. So he's how long has he loved us? And then will his love ever fail? The Apostle Paul said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord loves you, that's encouragement, and nothing's going to separate that. God loves you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Underneath the wings of love, his love abide, God will take care of you. God's got great wings it's overshadowing his people. It's wings of love. I'm glad of that. That ought to encourage you this morning. Then second, the guarantee of the Lord's sufficient grace. Turn over. That's a great encouragement. The grace of God is going to follow his children this year. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians, page 1239 in your NIV, your KJV. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, lest I, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Page 1239. If you had a Scofield Reference Bible, you could have already been there. See, that's why you ought to get a Scofield Reference Bible. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, the Lord, he prayed three times for the Lord to remove whatever that thorn was. Some think it was bad eyesight and many other reasons, but we don't know. But the Lord gave it to him. He had all the revelations. He had been puffed up if the Lord didn't send him a thorn in the flesh. And so the Lord, and he prayed, and the great Apostle Paul prayed three times. God did not hear his prayer. But look, just the first part of verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, 2012 may bring hardship and trouble and trials, and it usually comes regardless, though some of those. It may mean physical suffering. Some of my members already in the hospital, Brother Bob and others, and Brother Shorty fell this week and had a big gash on his eye there, had to have 12 stitches. And so on and on, things like that happen. And some of you may be called to give up a loved one, and you'll follow a hearse to the silent city of the dead in 2012 to put someone in the ground more precious to you than life itself. You may have to undergo that this year. You may lose your job, and your investments may tank out. I mean, the stock market may fall. You might lose 30, 40, 50% of what you have in retirement or in saving. But remember this, the Lord is saying, whatever your lot may be, folks, in 2012, God's saying this morning to you, if you're born again, if you want to be, if you're living close to the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, you'll make it. I have an announcement that's backed by the guarantee of God's word and the Lord God of heaven. If you are saved and want to do the will of God and trying to do the will of God, you're going to make it this year by God's grace. And what is grace? It's the unmerited favor of God. You're going to make it. Now, I had to face a lot of problems while I was at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for 6 years and 4 months. And folks, I couldn't have made it. I'd have been gone a long time ago if I couldn't take my burdens to the Lord. And as you know, I come up here early. I go to bed early. We didn't have a television set at the house, so I could go to bed early. My wife, after I retired, I said, I'm going to get a television set so I can watch Tennessee play football. And she said, no, you're not going to bring a television set in this house. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to put it in the basement. So, but that's one of the reasons I can come up here early every morning. But I'll tell you, folks, I don't claim to be a great preacher. I don't claim to be a great intellect or any of that. But I'll tell you, the Lord, when I first got here, he taught me how to pray. And I won't go through that, how the Lord did. And I'd come up here in the morning sometimes when I didn't know what to do, or when I'd had a health problem myself. Many times I'd get on my face here, right here, and weep before God. Or get back there, weep on the floor back there. And somehow, some way, God pulled me through. And I'll tell you, if you will, you'll learn when the burdens press in on you in 2012, the psalmist said in Psalm 55:22, here's what to do. Here's what to do. Cast thy burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. And he shall, God, how many believe this is God would tell us the truth in his word here? He said, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Leave it there, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. We can stop about 5 minutes and have a shouting time right now. You can shout it out. If you're saved and want to please God and trying to please him, you're going to make it through 2012. If you just cast your burden on the Lord and say, Lord, I can't make it. If you don't help me, Lord, I won't make it. I'll guarantee you. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's God and he can help you as you go through 2012. Oh, he's helped me down through life. Oh, when I didn't know where to turn, he could help me. And I didn't know how he was going to do it. God knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. He knows a lot of ways to do it. Well, let's move on here. The clock, I'm going to put my handkerchief over this clock here, right here. But another guarantee is that, I'm going back to the second. I better move on to my next point here. I'd enjoy preaching that one again because it's true. I might just run that rerun on you on that point. But let me give you a third thing. Encouragement for 2012, the pledge of the Lord's abundant provision. Now, many of God's people are concerned how they're going to make ends meet financially in 2012. And predictions are that things are not going to be much better this year than they were last year. We had a 9% unemployment rate last month, and it was down to 8.5. But and that meant only almost 400,000 applied, were out of job and applied for workers' compensation here last month. But millions of people across America are out of work. However, listen, I'm talking to God's children this morning. If you're a child of God, and if you're in the best you know how, if you're in the center of God's will and seeking to please him, then you know what? God's promised to take care of you this year. He's promised. And the rise and fall of Wall Street and the stock market does not affect God's promises one bit. I mean, the stock market's a yo-yo, up and down and up and down. But listen to what God says in his word. It's Philippians 4:19. Now listen, this is simple. You've heard it many times, but you better learn to hang on to a verse like this. But my God shall supply all your need now. Need. Not all you want, all your greed, and brand new car, and all things like that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. David said in Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Now, I was a Great Depression baby, born in 1932. I mean, I saw America for the first time right in the middle when the employment rate about 25, with unemployment rate about 25-30%. And my dad was, the mines closed down, daddy is out of work, and here I come on the scene. Boy, I tell you, I come on the scene at the wrong time, didn't I? But my dad went and got, as I've told you, went and got to Dr. Jenkins, and he came and delivered me for $5. Now, I won't go into all the details about that. And daddy didn't have $5. I've told you about many times how he went over and for 50 hours hoed corn for 10 cents an hour to work me out. And I won't tell you again, you get what I've said, that people tell me, well, you get what you pay for, you know, so. But somehow, my dad and mother had three daughters. Then I came on the scene. And out of work. But somehow, and I won't dwell on this, somehow, we made it. My mom and dad weren't educated people, but they loved God and believed this old book, this old King James Version. Somehow we made it. Didn't miss a meal. You can tell by looking at me that I didn't miss too many meals. And some of you look like you didn't miss too many meals too. Not looking at anybody in particular there now. David said in Psalm 34:9, there is no want to them that fear him. Then he said in verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That is, if you keep going to the Lord, seeking his help, seeking his face, you won't want any good thing. Now, is God's word true? You just seek the Lord. Somehow he's going to help you. Then I was going to have you to turn for a passage of scripture in Matthew 6. But there's a long passage. From 6, read it sometime. Don't turn to it now while I finish preaching. About 28 to 33. But Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. Now here's God's promise. Seek ye first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things, the necessities of life, will be added unto you. That's what God promises. That's what he promises. And if we live for the Lord and put him first in our lives, he's promised all these things that we need will be given to us. And God cannot lie, folks. I might lie to you. I won't intend to tell a lie. But God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And he'll move heaven and earth to take care of you if you just put him first in his kingdom. Old Brother Mays Jackson, I've told you before and you've heard Mays tell about it. He said things may get glad, and he said that, bless God, he said, if there's only one biscuit left in the county, you'll find Brother Mays nibbling at one corner of that biscuit. And he just had faith in God, see. And I've told you about Oliver Green. He, one time I heard him preach, and he said the Lord, he rattled his pocket and said about the money, had a little change in there, and he said that the Lord has taken care of him. He said, I've never seen a time when I didn't have enough to buy a hamburger and a Pepsi Cola, he called it, Pepsi Cola. He said, Brother Green, you mean you like those, drink those Coca Colas? He said, no, bless God, I drink those Pepsi Colas. What he's saying is God's taking care of me. Then one other thing. I'm going to let you out so you'll get there maybe before the Methodists and Presbyterians do at restaurants today. But one other thing, encouragement for 2012 is there is the expectation of the Lord's return. The Lord's return. James 5:8 says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And then Hebrews 10:37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Jesus said, you know, in John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know why we're here this morning, the saints of God around the world, are expecting the Lord to come back at any time, and maybe in this year. And they're looking for him any moment. And this could be the year of the Lord's return. I said, now could be. Notice I said could be. No man knows the day than they are the year. The Lord's return can be summed up in four words. Rapture. When he comes back, we who are saved will be raptured up. Caught up. Caught up without dying. I'd like to cheat the undertaker anyway, wouldn't you? And then the second word summed up the Lord's return is resurrection. The sleeping saints of God will come out of the graves when the Lord comes back. And then reunion. Reunited with our loved ones. It's gone on before and see Jesus in the sky. When I went over that in my message, I thought, I hadn't seen my dad since 1953. He's gone. What did that be? This year in July, I believe it'd be 59 years I hadn't seen my dad. One of the finest dads a boy ever had. My mother went to be with the Lord just a few years ago. But when the trumpet sounds, I'll see my daddy and my mama again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then one other thing, the Lord's rapture, resurrection, reunion, and reward when the Lord comes back. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." So Christian, amid the uncertainties of this year that we face, don't be discouraged. Jesus may come back in 2012. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now let me ask you this question. If Jesus would split open the clouds of glory and come back this year, are you ready for his coming? Are you ready? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Not just made a little church, a little decision and signed the card, but have you been born again? Would you be caught up if he'd come back today? Christian, would you be ashamed? And most of you are saved here today. Overwhelming majority, would you be ashamed if the trumpet would sound and you'd be caught up today? Would you be ashamed to meet Jesus? 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I don't want to be ashamed. Oh, I haven't lived the perfect life like I wanted to live. I don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes back. I don't want to be ashamed. Well, to live in such a way, we wouldn't be ashamed if Jesus come back this year. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Everyone, head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around for just a moment. Maybe you say, "Preacher, as I face the uncertainties of this year, the prospect of the coming of the Lord, I am saved, but Preacher, I can't get a prayer through to God, and I don't know the power of God in my life like I should, and I'm not the Christian I ought to be. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord." Or maybe you're not even saved here this morning. If Jesus come back, you'd be left out. We're talking about the heathen over there that Brother Jody and Brother Sexton are going to preach to next week. And listen, they're no more lost than you are if you're sitting here in Christian America and never been born again. If you don't know Christ personally, you ought to come down this aisle, get on your knees, cry out to the Lord to save you. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. All you have to do is just ask him. Just ask him. He'll save you. And maybe there's people here today that you have a desperate need in your life. Won't you just come to this altar this morning? Get on the altar. Say, "Lord, I have to have your help with this situation I face." The Lord can help you. That's my message. So the Lord can help us as we go into this year. How many with heads bowed and eyes closed say, "Preacher Lansley, God's spoken to my heart this morning. And there's a spiritual need in my life." Whatever it is, where you need to rededicate your life, you need the power of God on your life, or where you've never been saved, or some desperate need you have that you just have to have the Lord's help. Pray for me this morning. Just slip your hand up all over the house right now. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? For these numbers that raise the hand, anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to pray in just a moment. Maybe there's somebody here to the preacher. I'm not right with God. God, or I've never been saved. I'd like to know that I'm saved. Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up. We're not going to come to you and embarrass you. Let me pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Somebody like that. Slip your hand right up. Slip your hand right up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer this morning. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. It's a great privilege you've afforded me to again stand behind this pulpit. And Lord, I've tried to tell them that God is going to help his children this year if we just look to him. And I pray that your people will look to you this year and trust you and live for you. And we know you'll bless them and take care of them. And Lord, some need to come get on this altar and pray and do business with God, or some great need they need to come talk to the Lord. May they come. Maybe somebody's here and unsaved. God, may they come and be saved. The Lord died on that cross to save. May they come. And maybe somebody needs to join the church. Help them to present themselves this morning if God's leading them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. What number is it? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. What number? 281. 281. Let's stand and sing 281. Pass me not. Listen. He won't pass you by. Give him a chance. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Come get in this altar. Pray about it. Turn it over to the Lord. If you need to get saved or need to join church, come on. Right. Brother Gary's standing here. Obey the call of God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Come on right now as we sing. Pass me not, gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. You that raised your hands, why don't you come on? Get on your knees before God. Come on right now. What'd you do? Pass me by, Savior, Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Sing on the second. Obey the call of God. Come on. At a throne of mercy, I healing there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. If your Savior hear my humble cry, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, play through softly again, please. You're going to need the Lord desperately this year. If he's speaking to you, why don't you just slip down this altar and do business with God right now? Wait just a moment. If God's speaking to you, come on. Right, come on, while this time, some are coming, just step down, get on your knees before God, tell him about the need in your life. Come on, obey the Lord if he's talking to you. Come on. Let's just sing that last verse there while we pray with this one. We want to give the Lord time. Let's sing the last verse. Now the spring of all my heart. There's still opportunity if God's speaking to you. Come on. Obey the call of God. It's always right to obey the call of God. Let's sing that first verse over again one more time.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. All on others thou art calling, do not fast me by.
Thank you, preacher. I was talking to Brenda Edwards this week. When you're going through a trial, the key is to focus on the God that we heard about this morning. The God of all love, the God of all grace, the God of all provision.
That's right.
And that focus will get you through, folks. Thank you, preacher, for challenging our hearts and showing us our God again this morning. We're delighted to have the Whitmans. If you want to, folks want to stand, Jim and Sharon Whitman have been visiting with us for a while. We actually already put Jim to work. Been playing his trumpet up here. Now we're making it official, kind of official, because we're not going to vote this morning because the pastor's not here. But they have come to join the church, and we're excited to have them. Pastor knows they're coming, and when he returns, we'll vote on them after we've prayed about it for a long time. And we're excited to have the Whitmans here with us. And like I say, we'll vote on them later on when the pastor returns. And after the prayer this morning, you come and welcome them, Jim and Sharon. And welcome them to our body of faith here today. And again, I'll remind you seniors, if you want to attend the senior luncheon, back in the blue room is the place to sign up. And finally, if you're visiting today, if you'll take your visitor's card to the lobby out to the breezeway area, we do have a gift for you. Let's pray and we'll close our service this morning. Lord, we do thank you for a reminder today of who you are. We thank you, Lord, that your love is eternal, that your grace is sufficient, that your provision is enough. And Lord, as we face a new year, help us to place our faith right now, to be building our faith in you, so when the trial comes, we'll be able to get through it. And Lord, remind us every moment that your coming is imminent. It could be any time. And God, help us to live for you and do all we can while we can until you come back to get us, we pray. Thank you for the Whitmans. We thank you, Lord, they've been led to our church. Lord, may you have your hand upon them and lead them in an area of service here. And bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist Neil Cadwell will be preaching tonight, showing you ministry in Ukraine. Come back to see us tonight.